What an honor it is to be able to work in the service of God and to keep oneself unspotted from the world in order to take advantage of such a privilege. Sometimes I think as the people of God, because of doing things over and over habitually, it becomes random. We're asked to work in the service of God, to lead singing, offer prayers, read scripture, preach, and depending on how often we do it, it becomes mundane. Sometimes we think that, well, I have that right, but it's not a right, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to stand before the people of God to lead in singing, because it is a role, it's a leadership role. And to be able to pray, to go to the throne room of God on behalf of the people of God, it's an honor. And to be able to preach, teach. And so when we think about what we are doing on Wednesday night, I hope, pray, and trust that is not something that is taken for granted. And even though, because of God's command for women not to lead in the worship assembly, doesn't mean that y'all don't play a major role. And the major role that you play is that you, just like us as men, have to present ourselves before God. It's a presentation. And because of that, we ought to be very grateful for the opportunity to present ourselves every first day of the week. And so keep that in mind. Tonight, we're going to be talking about counting things lost for Christ. And when we think about faithfulness, and if you don't hear nothing else I say in the next 20 minutes, hear this. When we think about faithfulness, and we think about one's love for Christ, it is actually measured in what one is willing to give up in order to be in fellowship with Christ, not what one is willing to hold on to or maintain. And the reason why we say that is because when one comes to Christ and they begin that journey, if you will, Jesus would say, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, follow me. So if a man has a desire, if a person has a desire to come after Christ, they have to be willing to give something up. Now, we may be thinking, of course. However, when we consider the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, and we read, Brother Leon, rather, verses 7 through 11, I find it very peculiar that he says some things. He says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss. For what reason? He said, yet indeed I count them loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish or dung that I may win Christ. Now, before we go into that, I want to impress upon your hearts what he gave up. He was a Pharisee. He was under the law. Very educated man. People looked up to him. Scholars say that Paul's education level was equivalent to, at least 20, 30 years ago, 3 PhDs. Very intelligent man. You read the book of Romans and you see, of course, it being inspired, but notice how it's penned. A very intelligent man, the way that he put that together. And so he was willing to give up all of the status and all of the clout and everything that came with it in order for him to be identified with Christ. And so it caused me to think about this. What are we willing to give up today? Are we willing to give up everything today for Jesus? Now, every last one of us, according to Philippians 2:12, have to work out our own salvation, which means that, well, we may be giving up different things, but the command is still there. Just as Paul was willing to suffer loss, everything, he said he counted it loss that he may win Christ. What are we willing to give up to win Jesus? Or like the rest of the world, who think that they can live any type of life that they want to before Jehovah, before God, and still have him. They deceive themselves. What am I willing to give up? Am I willing to give it all up for Christ? Can you imagine living during the time of the Apostle Paul and the clout that he had, the education level that he had, and how people viewed him, and he was willing to give that up in order to be identified with the cross? He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, Christ lives in me. So, young people, y'all look at me. All young people, look up, look at me. Train yourself now to be willing to give up everything for Jesus now. Because when you get older, it's hard to give it up. Amen? It's hard because you have trained yourself. Now, let me come down your road. Because I'm not shooting blanks tonight. Some of us need to give up our time for Jesus. Some of us waste too much time. What are you spending most of your time on that you could be spending it with the Lord? Amen. Some of us waste too much time. Not spending enough time in the Word of God. You could tell by your speech. You could tell by our speech. What are we not willing to give up? Some people won't give up certain vices. Friends, we must be willing to give it up in order to win Christ. You can't hold on to sin and hold on to Jesus at the same time. It doesn't work that way. Well, let me go a little further. You can't hold on to those things that rob your time and hold on to the Lord at the same time. We have to ask ourselves, what are we willing to give up? Now, notice, Paul was willing to give all of these things up. And if you notice in verse number 10, he said he wanted to win Christ. He wanted to gain Christ. He wanted to be found in him in verse number 9, which meant that if you was looking for the Apostle Paul, guess where you was going to find him? Not under the law of Moses. You ain't going to find him there. You ain't going to find him keeping sacrifices and offering up turtle doves and offering up bullocks. Oh, no, you're going to find him in Christ. That's where you're going to find him. I'm reminded of a conversation. And the conversation was talking about Luke chapter 2. And you know where they found Jesus? Playing in the marketplace. Where did they find him, Evelyn? In the temple. That's interesting. Where would they find us? That's a good question. If somebody was looking for me, where would they find me? Where would they find me? Brother Ryan, that's a good question, right? Where would they find you? Paul says, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. There's the proven point right there. But the righteousness that's where? What does it say? Where? In Christ. Paul says, if you want to look for me, you're not going to find me at the synagogue as it relates to keeping the law of Moses, but you'll find me in the synagogue preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. Where would you find yourself? Where would people find you? Brother Brian made a point the other day. He was preaching, and I think it was in Stephenville. He was talking about Because his neighbors see him every Sunday, he and your family, and they find y'all leaving every Sunday. So they already know that on Sunday morning, well, he's not going to be at home. So, hey, man, where are you? What time is it? It's 10:15. Well, in 15 minutes, service is about to start. You know where to find me. At worship. Where would they find us? Where would they find you? So the Apostle Paul said, I'm going to be found in him. But look at verse 10. And this is not just me having some surface level information about you. Paul said that I may know him. The type of knowledge that's intimate. Hold on, Paul. You spent all this time getting to know the law of Moses, understanding the Ten Commandment laws, understanding all of the sacrifices that go with it under the Levitical priesthood. And now you want to know him? He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Notice the next one. Being made conformable where? Unto his death. He's talking about the cross. Brethren, I truly believe that the Apostle Paul wanted to know everything that he could know about his Lord and Master. I believe one of the dangers of being a Christian is telling yourself, I know enough about him. I don't need to learn more anything else about him. And we don't say that, but sometimes what we do is we just stop reading. We stop studying. We stop longing after. One of the most dangerous times in marriage is when you don't see your spouse as the apple of your eye. Amen. Right? Y'all go like this. Men go like this, right? That's one of the most dangerous times in your marriage. Most dangerous times. Why? The enemy can come in. And he can destroy you and your marriage. Hold on. Who are we married to spiritually? Christ. One of the most dangerous times in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is when you're not longing after him and lunging after him and going after him with all that you have. Question, what's getting in the way? Paul said that I may know him. The power of his resurrection. I want to know about the rising of Christ and the fellowship of his suffering. Hold on. Paul, are you sure about that? You really want to know about the fellowship of his suffering? Do you know how he suffered? And a lot of times what we think about when it comes to the suffering of Christ is the cross. But friends, he suffered a lot before that. People mistreated him, said lies about him. They put him in certain positions to test him and tempt him, tried to separate him between he and his father. I mean, he suffered a lot. And Paul says, I want to know that. Wow. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death, the cross. Friends, how much do you know him? This was bothering me today. This study bothered me today. I had to think about this. Mike, what gets in the way between you and your Lord? What gets in the way? What are some of the time robbers and stealers in your life? What are some of the things you gaze at that you shouldn't be gazing at? What are some of the things you listen to that you shouldn't be listening to? Does God really command us to be holy, or have I made up my own holiness? What is holiness? Is there a definition for it? Am I really set apart? Friends, these are great questions that the Bible demands an answer for those who one day hopefully will be counted worthy, Luke 20 and verse 35, to live in that next life. But then look at verse 12. I'm sorry, verse 11. Paul says, Chad, read verse number 11 before you get too comfortable. In verse number 11, Paul says, I want to end up somewhere. You know, when I jump in the car, so next week, I'm just telling you my business. I'm going to be going to Missouri near Arkansas to perform a wedding for Josh And I'm hoping that I get to my destination. I'm not just going to be driving just to be driving. I'm trying to get somewhere. I want to arrive somewhere. So I'm going to put it in my GPS. And when I get to the address, I'm going to keep on driving. Does that make sense, Grant? That makes no sense. Matter of fact, when I get to my address, Gene, I'm going to stop and say, Thrasher, I'm glad to be here. I want to go straight to bed. He likes to talk. Not that night. We could talk tomorrow. Matter of fact, what I might do, I might call him about an hour in, get the talking out, so when I get there, I can just go to bed. Verse 11, read that. Now watch what he says. Yes.
By any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead.
Paul says, I want to end up somewhere. I want to arrive somewhere. I want to attain somewhere. I want to be there on that day when Jesus Christ comes back and all bodies are raised up. That's where I want to end up. Young people, live your life. Live it to the fullest. But as the ecclesiastical writer says, make sure that God is in it. Look at Colossians 3. Brother Jimmy read this. Great job, Brother Jimmy. New convert, wants to be involved. We appreciate that. The first four or five verses, Paul is saying that we need to be focused. You need to be focused on Christ. You need to be sincere in putting your thoughts on things that are above where Christ is sitting. And you need to appreciate who you are. So you go to verse number 12 through 17, and there are two or three things that are just very important that we need to consider. And for time's sake, you see the phrase put on in verse 12 and 14, and you see the word let in verse number 15 and 16. Now, watch this. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, notice what he says. Put on, notice the phrase. Put on what, brethren? Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. That's interesting. That I may know him and the power of his rising and the fellowship of his suffering. How do I know that I know him? I'm putting these things on. They're part of my mentality. They're part of my life. I'm not just putting them on the shelf when I get home. It's important how we treat one another at home. It's important how we treat one another here. It's important how we treat our enemies. It's important how we treat our fellow man, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as what? As ourselves. But I got to put something on, which means that I got to take something off. And so Paul would talk about that old man. Brethren, we have to constantly keep this in the forefront of our hearts. Knowing Christ is a everyday experience. Every day I got to say, okay, Mike, you're dead today. But hold on. I want to do this. Now, y'all fill in the blank. Right. Y'all fill in the blank. You got to work out your own salvation. But brethren, you it scares me that the world can teach us that you can live any type of way and still have a relationship with God. You can pray to him, offer sacrifices to him, have a close, intimate relationship with him, but their lifestyle don't look nothing like him. And we take that on. We adopt that. And we merge them. And the Bible is teaching us that if I really want to know Christ, I got to put off some things and I got to put on some things. And if I'm not merciful, if I'm not tender, if I'm not kind, if I'm not long-suffering, if I'm not willing to forgive, if I'm a complainer, if I'm not meek, if I'm not humble, I have to ask myself, am I really knowing Christ like I'm supposed to? There's a difference between being like him and having a semblance of being like him. But look at verse 14. But above all these things, there's that phrase again, put on. It's like waking up in the morning, putting on clothes. Well, the world that we live in, they don't mind walking out without clothes. Now, we may call it immodesty. The Bible calls it what? Nakedness. Well, we call it what the Bible calls it. Put some clothes on, spiritually. Well, what do we mean by clothes? Well, he says, put on love, which is the super glue of perfection. And then notice the word let. And the word let literally means to allow, to permit, or to give way to. Let, which requires humility, that I may know him. So Paul says, I'm willing to give all of this up in order to know him. I'm willing to let Christ reign in my heart richly, that I may know him. Question, do you know him? Do you know him? And so look what he says in verse number 15. Let the peace of God reign in your hearts. Let the peace of God reign. The word rule there is reign. In the Greek, it literally means Ryan to umpire. Call it a strike, call it a ball. Let the peace of God umpire your what? Your hearts. How do I know if I know him? How do I know I'm willing to give it up? Remember, the measure of one's love for Christ is not dependent on what you're willing to keep, but what you're willing to give up. What am I willing to give up for Christ? Hold on. The Word became flesh. He was willing to give that up for what? For us. That's how much he loved us. He was willing to give it up, put on flesh. Why? I love them. I want to do what my Father says, and I love creation. And the more I thought about this, notice when I'm willing to give it up, notice what he says in verse number 16. Let, there's that word again, the word of Christ do what? Dwell in you a little bit. Is that what it says? Oh man, I make $5 an hour. Boy, I'm rich. But I had the capacity to make $45 an hour. No, I think I'd rather have $5 an hour. That's good. Who thinks like that? How do I know if the Word of God is dwelling in me richly, overflowing in my mind, my speech is spiritual? Friends, the more I thought about this, y'all pray for me. I need to do better. I need to do better. I do. I need to do better. Because sometimes I waste time. Sometimes my words are not like this. Sometimes my thoughts are not like that. How about you? That I may know him. I want to know him. And sometimes getting to know him hurts. But one thing we know about our God, see, he's not like thieves and robbers and people who are willing to hurt you to take what you possess, what you own. See, if God cuts you, oh, he comes right back around and he heals you. see, he's not like some of these jokers out here that'll shank you and leave you for dead, let you bleed out. No, he's not like that. Y'all smile. That's true. Yeah, they'll shank you and just walk off, run off and leave you, just bleeding out. That's not God. No, he'll cut you. Word of God is quick and powerful. It'll cut you. But he'll just come and he'll sew you up. Only if you're willing to let. Only if you're willing to put on. Only if you're willing to know him. It'd be good for some of us not to sleep at night until we know him. Until when we're ready to just give self up and know him. But if I lie to myself and say I know him, but my actions and my mindset says something different, that's not good. And I find it very, very interesting. Y'all hear this point? Paul says, I count those things as what, Leon? Dung. Rubbish. Cow manure. All of the accomplishments he made, he says, I count them as dung. They mean nothing. What are you willing to give up that you may win him? What are you willing to give up? Are you willing to give up that bad attitude? Some brethren in the brotherhood need to give up that bad attitude. They got bad attitudes. They just want to be mad, look like they're sucking on lemons and persimmons. Always upset and angry and mad. I thought Christianity was good and wholesome and joyous. Oh, it is. And I can prove it. Jesus said, for the thief come to steal, to kill, and destroy. I come that you may have life and have it what? He said, I want you to have a good life. You married? You ought to have a good life. You single? You ought to have a good life. You in Christ? You ought to have a good life. You have a job? You ought to have a good life. If you don't have a job, you ought to have a good life. Why? I'm in Christ. You know, if God did nothing else for us, he'd done enough by sending his son to give us salvation. He's done enough. Question, what are you willing to give up? What are you willing to give up in order to win him? Brother Mike, I don't know about that, Brother Mike. I think we need to go talk to the elders. Okay, I'll stay out the meeting. I'll let you talk to them. I do know this. The scriptures don't change. Paul says, I'm willing to give that up, and I count it as dung that I may win my Lord. So we're going to stop there. We'll have a song, and then we're going to read and capitalize on some of the text that Brother Martin, he read in our hearing. Brother Brian.